Mesechtas Chulin, Daf Nun Tes, the top line on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and Shmuel mentioned on the bottom of Amud, the Alita Chultas Trefa, Mai Taima de Menachvululu Magna, that if one feeds an herb called Chultas to its animal, then the animal will be a Trefa, as this herb is so strong that it'll puncture its digestive tract. And Rav Shizbi asked a question on Shmuel from a Brisa that states, if you feed an animal Chultas, that the animal is still kosher and is not a Trefa. And Agamar answered, Chultas Achultas. That the Bryce is discussing the leaves of the chiltis, and that is not harmful to an animal. Shmuel is discussing the grains of the chiltis. And our Gemara now begins. Rabbi Yehuda, Hayman de Ochlo Tlosa Tikle Chiltis Al Liberei Kana Mishtalach Mashchei. And Rabbi Yehuda teaches us that if one eats the weight of 3 shekel of chiltis on an empty stomach, so his skin will peel off. And as Rashi states, Nifshat Oyrei Shal Chiltis Mecham Masri Ma'oid Veichzasi Kadacha Shek. This will cause him a major fever, and that will cause the peeling of his skin. Some explain that it will feel as if his skin is peeling off. And Ayin Rabbeinu Geshem Klima Sha'ichsi Chafafis V'chayif Atzmoy Atchlin Ishtayaboy Or Sholem. This will cause his body to become very itchy, and he'll scratch himself until he peels off his skin. And of course, when Shmuel was discussing chiltis, he was discussing an animal that ate chiltis, and Rabbi Yehuda is discussing a human eating chiltis. L'chari is discussing the greens of the chiltis, and even though by an animal will cause the animal to become a trefa, but these seeds will not have such a strong effect on a human. Number one, it will only be a problem if he eats it on an empty stomach, and number two, he won't die from it, and it won't become a trefa, and it'll only be mishtalach mashrei. The Gemara continues, the Rabbi Yehuda mentioned this concept when someone eats the weight of 3 shekel of chiltis, and Ravo continues and tells us that even if someone will eat less, that although it could also cause a problem, however, there is an antidote. As the Gemara continues, that I had a personal story where I ate the weight of 1 shekel of chiltis, and if not for the fact that I went and sat in water in order to cool down, then my skin would have peeled off. And because I knew this member of Rabbi Yehuda, so I was mekayim in myself, the pasuk in Kehilos that tells us, and by having an increase of knowledge, that was able to keep me alive, that protected me. And keep in mind that number one, Ravo only ate the weight of 1 shekel, and number two, the Gemara doesn't state that he ate it alibre kana. The Gemara now continues to discuss something else, which is not good for a person if they eat it on an empty stomach, as Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hay man de ochel shitzri bei v'abayam guzi v'shabutisi de parchi v'shasir v'yasir de dufshu v'tekuvis tabos alibre kana. So misaker talya delibe, and if someone eats 16 eggs and 40 nuts and 7 caper berries, and he drinks a quarter of a leg of honey, he does so during the summer on an empty stomach, his heartstrings will snap, and it seems that he will have a heart attack. Which refers to a caper berry, and this is only when he ate all of these things together, this exact mixture. Before we continue, just like we discussed at Tzemes Hagidin, with the 16 tendons of a bird formed behind a bird's knee, it was also placed by the joint of an animal, which is the same as Hagidin. Sinews and the tendons of an animal come together. Certainly, if they are severed, then the animal will be a trefa. Agamor continues, Ahu batavya da osala beresh glusa, da mefasa karan basraisa, and bot kirab, the same as Hagidin, va'achshirei, that there was a young deer that came to the house of the resh glusa, and its hind legs were severed, and Rav was the same as Hagidin, and he found that they weren't severed, and therefore he was machshir the animal, and he didn't consider a trefa. And Savala Michel Mene Bumza, and since he paskin that it was kosher, so he wanted to salt it a lot, then roast it a little bit over coals in order to remove the dam and eat it while it was still raw. And as Rashi states, Bumza in its sleek kol kach betana el molcha moed v'tzalo kol du al gachalim, prior to him eating it, Malei Shmuel lechayish malin kurei, that Shmuel said to him, are you not concerned that potentially a snake bit this animal, that's why its legs were severed? The venom of the snake may be in this animal, and if you eat it, that will harm you, and it's sakonis to fashais. And Amalei and Rav said, Maite kanta, so what should I do in order to figure out if it actually was poisoned? And Shmuel, who was a doctor, responded, Noisvi betanur du bodik nafshe, that you should put it into an oven in order for it to roast and to get very well done, and that will be enough to inspect it. Oisvi and Rav put it into an oven, and nafil tilchei tilchei, broke into small pieces. And he saw that the reason why the animal was having problems is because a snake bit it, and because of the venom, and therefore he saw that it would have been dangerous for him to eat it, and he realized that Shmuel saved him. Kari Shmuel the Rav, and Shmuel said the following pasuk from Mishlei regarding Rav, that the pasuk states, Lo yu'unu l'tzadik kol avayin u'risharim malu ra, nothing bad will befall a tzadik. Shmuel didn't take credit for this, and instead he said that Kadosh Baruch Hu protected Rav because of his great tzidkus, and Kari Rav ala de Shmuel. However, Rav gave credit to Shmuel. He quoted the pasuk from Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Nebuchadnezzar said about Daniel, who's called Belshazzar, that Belshazzar was called Raz le'onaslach, that all secrets are not hidden from him, and he knows the answers to all problems. Ayin Rashi, that Shmuel stated, le'yuna l'tzadik, shenis damamti u'manati melechol, that Kadosh Baruch Hu misavev, that I should be around, I should prevent Rav from eating from his basar. And before we continue with the new Mishnah, let us begin with Akdama. And our Mishnah will discuss the behemoth's chayos, as well as eifes and dogim, which are kosher, and even though we refer to them as kosher, Torah refers to them as those behemoths, chayos, eifes, and dagim that are tar, and those that are not kosher, the Torah refers to them as tamei, and we will use these words interchangeably, and sometimes we will say tar, and sometimes we will say kosher, and sometimes we will say tamei, and sometimes we will say that they are treif, or they are not kosher. However, certainly we know that when the Torah uses the word treifa, it refers to a specific type of animal that has one of the yudchas treifas, as we've already learned. And the Torah speaks about all the species that are either tar or tamei in Pasha Shmini, as well as in Pasha Re'ei. And let us read a few psukim, as in Pasha Shmini by Shishi in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk tells us, Vayidab HaShem Moshev al Aaron Lema Aleihem, and the Pasuk then states, Dabru al Bnei Yisrael Lema Zeis HaChaya Shetechlu Mikol HaBehim HaShem al Oretz, and the Pasuk first starts off by mentioning Chaya, and then mentions a behemah, and therefore we know that all the dinim that the Torah will mention doesn't only apply to a behemah, and also applies to chayos. We know that there are two simonim of kashrus by a behemah, and number one, it has to be mafresas pasa, and it has to have split hooves, and number two, it has to be malas gira, meaning it has to chew its cud. A kosher animal will swallow plants and grass rapidly with minimal chewing, and the matter is partially broken in the rumen, which is the first stomach, which we call the keres, and then the animal regurgitates the cud, which is the partially digested food, and then chews it 20 times on each side of the mouth. Then the food is swallowed and goes directly into the beis hakoseis and goes through the rest of the digestive process. And in Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk tells us that kol mafreses pasa v'shisa shesa proseis malas geir babahima oisei techelu. The Torah actually only mentions four animals that are not kosher and are not tar, and three of them are actually malas geir, do not have split hooves, and there's only one animal that has split hooves and is not malas geir. And as the Pasuk states, Acha zeleisaychlu mimale ageru mafrisa pasa, number one, a sagomo kimale geru hu, ufasa inan mafris tamayu lechem, and number two, vesa shafon kimale geru hu, ufasa leafris tamayu lechem, and number three, vesa neves kimales geru hi, ufasa leafrisa tamayu lechem, and all three do not have split hooves, but they are malas geira, and there's one animal that has split hooves, but is not malas geira, and as the Pasuk continues, vesa chazir, kimafis pasahu, v'sheisa shesa pasa, v'hu geiru la'igar, and we know a gomel is a camel, a shafon they explain as a hyrax, and they define our neves as a hare or a rabbit, and of course we know that a chazir is a pig or a boar, and the psukim continue to discuss fish, and as the Pasuk states, as zet teichlu mikol asher b'mayim, kol asher lo yisnapi v'kaskasas b'mayim, b'yam v'necholim isim teichelu, one can eat any fish that has fins and scales, however kol asher in lo yisnapi v'kaskasas b'mayim, shekas hu lochem. Although the Torah gave a specific simonim, b'negeya behimois and chayos, as well as b'negeya dagim, however the Torah doesn't give a specific simonim, b'negeya oifois, and instead the Torah tells us that there are 24 species of birds that are tummy and one cannot eat, however all other birds would be kosher and would be tar. As Pasuk Yud Gimel continues, v'es'ela t'shaksum in o'if lo ye'ochlu k'sheketzeim es'anesha v'es'aperes v'es'aznia v'es'ado v'es'aya limina es'kol erev liminoi is bas hayana v'es'atachmas v'es'ashochaf v'es'anitz limineu v'es'akois v'es'asholach v'es'yanshov v'es'atinshemes v'es'akos v'es'arocham v'es'achasid ha'nof limina. Finally, v'es'achasid ha'nof limina v'es'ad Finally, the Torah speaks about grasshoppers and it tells us and the Torah repeats a lot of this information in Pashas Re'eh in Perek Yudalid. However, there are a few differences. For example, in Pashas Re'eh, the Torah lists some of the animals which are actually kosher, and the Torah states, Zoysa behima shetechelu, shor sek sovim v'se'izim, aylu tzvi v'yachmor, v'akoy v'dishay nusa'oy v'zomer. And number two, even though the Torah once again discusses the simoni kashis by behima and chaya, as well as the simonim for dagim, as well as the oifos which are tamei, but the pasuk doesn't mention anything about grasshoppers. And based on this akdama, let us see our Mishnah, as our Mishnah teaches us, simonim behima v'chaya never minatira, and as we just saw, the simonim of behima and chaya that make them kosher are stated in the Torah. However, simoni oif lo nemru, and as we saw, the Torah doesn't mention any simonim by an oif. However, the chachamim gave us simonim that kol oif haderi is tamei, and this machlekes rishonim asked to have to explain that a bird is deres. And Rashi explains that, as we know, when you see an eagle or a hawk eating food, it actually holds onto the food with its legs, and that's the way it eats. While generally, when we see a chicken eating food, it eats it with its beak and it doesn't pick up its food. Ayin Rashi and Daf Samach Beis and Aleph, as well as in the Rush, they explain that birds of prey will capture their prey, hold down their prey with their claws, then they will eat their prey. Ayin Tesis and Daf Samach Aleph and Aleph and Dibar Maschal Adereis, where Tesis explains that birds of prey actually grab onto their food and eat from their prey while the prey is still alive. And others explain that the word Dereis means that it kills its prey using its claws. It's important to keep in mind that although the Mishnah will now bring three simonim that a bird is tar, however, even if a bird has all three simonim of taira, if it would be deres, then it would still be tamei and would still not be kosher to eat. And as Taisa points out in Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, as well as in Rambam Machol Sasuris, that's why, although in the Gemara we will see that if a bird has any of the simonim taira, then the bird would be considered tar. However, nowadays we know that chickens actually eat with their legs and with their claws, and that's why, although chickens have three of the simoni taira, since it's deres, so some want to say that they were actually crossbred with other breeds, and therefore some are machmer, then modern chickens are not kosher, and we therefore know one of the simoni taira, and that is if it's not deres. And the Mishnah continues and adds three different simoni taira. Number one, kol sheyesh lo etzba yaseira, any bird that has an extra toe, and as Rashi explains, it's referring to the toe that's not in the same order, and it's actually in the back of the foot of the bird, and that's why it's called the etzbi yaseira. However, Ayin Ramban that explains that etzbi yaseira is not an extra toe, but it's an extra long toe. And this refers to the extra long toe in the front of a bird. And the second simon of taira is v'zefek, that it has a crop. Number three, v'kukavonei niklaf, that it's gizzard, which is the part of the bird that crushes up its food and be peeled. And if you open up the gizzard of a kosher bird, so there are actually two layers of skin, and it's very easy to peel one layer off the other layer, and the Mishnah tells us that in all these cases the bird would be tar and it would be kosher. And Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, kol oif achilukas ragel of tamei, and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok gives another simon that if there's a bird who splits its toes when it stands on a wire or it stands on something, so two of its toes goes on one side and two of its toes goes on the other side, this is a simon that's deres and therefore would not be kosher, and even if it has other simoni kasheris. Keep in mind that although in the Torah the order was that the Torah spoke about behemoth and chayos, and then about dogim, and then about oifos, and then about chagovim, however our Mishnah discusses behemoth and chayos, and then oifos, and then chagovim, and then dogim. Our Mishnah continues and discusses grasshoppers, uva chagovim kol sheyesh lo arba reglayim v'arba knafayim v'kasu layim u'krof of choyfen esrubay. There are four simonim by grasshoppers in order to tell that they are kosher, and number one, has to have four legs, and number two, it has to have four wings, and number three, it has to have two jumping legs, which are aside from its four legs. We will define later in Rashi. Number four, its wings cover most of its body, and if so, it would be kosher. And Rabbi Yisi adds, Ushmoy Chagav, and also has to be called a Chagav. And although in Pasha Shemini and Pasach HaPez, the Pasach actually states, as Eilu Mehem Techilu, as Ha'ab Limino, Vesa Salom Lumineu, Vesa Chag Lumineu, Vesa Chag Lumineu. We see that one could eat grasshoppers that are not called called a chagav. However, Rabbi Yossi is referring to the general species called a chagav. This term includes all the other species mentioned in the Torah. And Ayin Tesis points out Rabbi Yossi is not being chiluk on Tanakama, and he's coming to be mefarish the words of the Tanakama. Finally, the Mishnah discusses fish as uvidogim that the simani kashis by a dog is called sheish leshnapi v'kaskases, that any fish that has fins and scales. Rabbi Yehuda imesh ne kaskases snap echod. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it must have two kaskasin and one snapir, and the Elohim kaskasin. What is the definition of kaskasin? And the Mishnah explains hakavuyim bai, that these are the scales that are fixed to the fish. The Mishnah continues the snapirin, and what is its definition? Haperer ben, and this is what it flies with, meaning that it looks like fish are flying through the water. This refers to the fins of a fish that helps it swim in the water. Before we begin the Gemara, let us see Rashi, and Rashi states in Diba Maskal Deres, Ha'oichiz Bitzupon of Magbiya Minakaka Mashaichal, and he explains Etzbiyasera, Zu Etzba Gavoya Shachri Etzbeis, Nachulik Raglov, Mefarish Begemara, Shechamamido Alchot, Noisen Steatzbeis Mikan, Vishtai Mikan. Rashi explains, Kasulayim, Hem Schneere Glaim, Aruchim Levada Abba, the Hem Samachlet Savarim, Mal Raglov, will not be him because you write to the Kapates. Finally, Rashi explains, Sampirin is Haperech Behem, and Zok Rashi shot Behem Alamayim. And our Gemara begins, Taner Abonon, that we learned in the Brisa, Elohein Simoni Behima, and the Gemara actually brings the Pasuk and Pashas Re'e that states, Chol Behima Mafreses Pasa Vishisa Shesa Shte Prasais, Malas Geira Behima Oisa Sechelu. The Brisa now brings a Klal, Chol Behima Shemailas Geira Biyadua Sheim Lo Shinayim Lamailu Tahira, that any animal that chews its cud will be certain that it doesn't have upper front teeth, and therefore it will be tar and it will be kosher. Before the Gemara asks a very basic question, the Gemara will first ask about the klal itself, as the Gemara asks for klaluhu, as how can you say this is actually the Metzias, but a gomel the maila geiru, we know that the Torah tells us that the gomel is maila geira, vein lo shinayim le maila v'tame, we know that it also doesn't have upper front teeth and is still tame. This klal doesn't make any sense, and the Gemara answers gomel nivi islay, that even though gomel doesn't have standard front teeth, whether it does have side fangs or canines, therefore the klal is still correct, that kol behemah shemalas geir biyadua she'en lo shenayim lemaigla, and any of those animals would be tar. However, the Gemara continues, varei ben gomel did nivi nami leslay, that we know that a young camel doesn't yet have fangs, and l'chir, based on the klal, that a young camel should be kosher and should be tar, and certainly we know that it's not kosher. The Gemara continues, v'su, and I'll ask you another question, that how can you even tell me that there's a klal that any behemoth that's milas gira, that certainly it doesn't have shinayin l'mayla, rei shofen va neves, the milas gira hein v'yesh lo shinayin l'mayla t'mayin, that we do know that shofen and neves are milas gira, and even so, they do have upper teeth. Certainly this klal doesn't make sense. And number three, v'oid shinayin miksivu b'raisa, that why would the Gemara even discuss anything regarding teeth, if teeth are not a simon of kashrus by an animal, and why would the klal be toila, something which is the tuffel, in something that's the ikker, as since the ikker is, there has to be milas gira, so why would we care about the teeth of an animal? Because of this question, so the Gemara actually switches around the brisa and switches around the klal. As the Gemara continues, al hachi ka'amar, kol behim she'in lo shenayin lo maigla, b'yadu ishi milas gira, mafresus pasta v'tayra, if one inspects an animal, you find that it doesn't have upper teeth, that is a valid simen, and we would therefore know that this animal was milas gira, and also had split hooves, and it is kosher. The Gemara continues and is bothered that why would one have to check its teeth? Is v'lifted b'pasaseh? Why don't we check its hooves and see if they're split? And why are we checking its teeth? And the Gemara explains that we're talking about a case where either the feet of the animal was already cut off after shechita, or even if they were cut off before shechita and they were cut in an area that does not make the animal a trefa, and one wants to know if this animal is kosher or not, so you could be boidik its teeth, and if it doesn't have top teeth, then we would know that it's kosher. And of course, a very simple nafkamina would be that if we know that there's basa shchuta lying around, and we already cut up the animal, and we can't see its intestines, and we also can't see its feet, so as long as they still have its head, and it could be boidik its teeth, then we could check if it's tar. But our Gemara wants to bring an example that this could also occur by a live animal, and as the Gemara continues, uchadav chista, the amar of chista, hayimahalch b'midbar, if someone is going in a desert, or matzah behemah shepatzeh katuchais, he finds an animal, and he's unsure if it's kosher, its hooves are severed, so boidik b'fia, so then he can inspect its mouth, and in lo shenayim l'mayla, b'yadu ashi yitayra, and in la, yedua shi tmeya. However, the Gemara explains over vatshiyaka gamol, but he has to be someone that recognizes a camel. Therefore, he knows that for certain this animal is not a camel. The Gemara is bothered that even if someone doesn't know what a camel looks like, but certainly he will not mistake an animal for a camel. And as we already stated, that a camel has fangs or canines, and as the Gemara is gamol nivisle. Therefore, the Gemara explains eldo vatshiyaka ben gamol, that the only way that this inspection can work is if someone recognizes what a young camel looks like. Since a young camel doesn't have nivi, if he doesn't know what a young camel looks like, so he may think that this is kosher, and really it's a young camel, and that's why he doesn't have upper teeth, and that's why he has to know what a young camel looks like. Then if he inspects the upper jaw of this animal and there are no teeth, well, he could be certain that this animal is kosher. However, the Gemara continues and is bothered, lav amrit ikka ben gamol, ikka nami mina achrina dami le ben gamol, that maybe just like we said, that a ben gamol doesn't have these teeth, possibly there are other animals that don't have upper teeth and are also tame. How can you be so certain that this animal is kosher? And the Gemara answers, leisak daitach, that certainly there is no other animal that doesn't have upper teeth and that is tame. The Tani Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, and as we learned in the Braisa in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, that when the Pasuk in Shmini states, Vesa gamol ki ma'ala geirahu, the Torah is teaching us that there is something special about a camel that we don't find by any other animal. And that's why the Torah used the word hu, as the Braisa explains, Shalapai lama yodea she'en l'chadova ma'ala geirah tame el gamol, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has shlita over the entire world and knows everything going on in the entire world. He knows that there's only one behem in the world that is ma'ala geirah, doesn't have split hooves, and this tummy, that is specifically the gamol and the shafana neves that is stated in the psukim, and there are no other animals in the world that are mindless gira and do not have split hooves. Therefore, if someone would find any animal, he inspects it and he finds that it doesn't have upper teeth, and as long as he knows what a ben gamol looks like, since there's a cloud that certainly will be mindless gira and have split hooves, so therefore he could be told that this animal is certainly kosher. The Gemara now continues with the similar limud b'negeya the chazir, as we saw the pasuk in Parshas Shmini states v'se chazir ki mafis parsehu v'shoysa shesa parsehu geir lo yigar tamehu lochem. Once again the pasuk uses the term hu, and the pasuk stated ki mafis parsehu. Agamar continues v'om rav chista hayi mahalach baderech v'som agaris hayi mahalach bamidbar u'matzah behema shepir gomom b'yidu b'fasasea im pasasea sedukais b'yidu ashitaya im la b'yidu ashitmeya u'vat shiyaki chazir. If someone is traveling in the desert and he finds an animal and he wants to inspect its teeth, however its mouth is mutilated and he's unable to determine if it had top teeth or not, or as long as it still has its hooves, so he can inspect the hooves, and if it actually has split hooves, and as long as he knows what a chazir looks like, then certainly he could eat this animal, as there's only one animal in the world that has split hooves and does not chew its cud, and that is the chazir. But any other animal that has split hooves certainly chews its cud and therefore is kosher. Once again, the Gemara is lav amrit ikka chazir, that didn't you say that the chazir has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud? Ikka nami min achrina dami l'chazir, but maybe there's another min in the world that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud and would be tamei. And the Gemara answers leisach daitach, that you should not think this way, as the pasuk says v'sechazir ki ma'afis pasahu. And once again, shal bei lami yodea she'in l'chadov v'shemafis pasah v'tamei el chazir. And therefore the Torah tells us that this is the only one that we will find. Therefore, if one would inspect the hooves of an animal and find split hooves, so as long as he knows what a chazir looks like, then he could be told that it is a kosher animal, as certainly it would be ma'alas geira, and certainly it chews its cud. And the Gemara continues with another member from Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, hayim halach b'midbar, u'matzo behema shepir gomum pasaseh chatuchais, that if someone traveling in the desert and he finds an animal has both of these issues, and number one, its mouth is mutilated and it can't inspect its teeth, and number two, its hooves are severed and therefore he can't inspect its hooves, so there's still another test that he could perform and he could do another inspection as Boiduk Bibisara, and he would be able to inspect the muscles at the back of the animal near its tail. If the grain of the muscle runs both vertically and horizontally, then he could be sure that this animal is kosher. And if not, then he'll know that it's tamei. However, he has to know how a wild donkey looks, as these muscles in a wild donkey also run shesiva arev. And once again, the Gemara asks, how could you say that the simon works as long as you know what a wild donkey looks like? like, but lav amrid ikaroid ikanami minachrina dami al aroid, that just like we know that there's a wild donkey that has a simen, so maybe there are other animals that has a simen as well. The Gemara tells us that even though benegia milas gira and benegia mafrise pasa, that is something that the Torah specifies, and the Torah uses the word who. However, benegia the simen gemuri deleka, we have a kabbalah that there is no other animal, and we can rely on this kabbalah. And some explain when the Gemara used lashon gemuri that the Gemara is using a term for halacha mesh mesinai. The Gemara now continues. Rav Chista mentioned that the bedika would be bibisara in its muscles, and the mahalak shasiva er be yadua shehitera. And the Gemara wants to know which basa we're referring to, and vehecha boidek, and where would you inspect? And the Gemara explains, Om Abaye v'item Rav Chista, and Abaye stated, what some say was actually Rav Chista that explained it himself, b'kanfei oikets, that's talking about an area that's right next to the tail of the animal. As Rashi states, tachas etzem ha'alya, in that area, yesh basa shech shekirin oisa nikra shasi, v'yesh nikra arev. And our Gemara continues that the Mishnah stated, simani behim v'chaya nemer menatera. The Gemara continues, Tanar Rabbanan, we learned to the Braisa, Elohim Simani Chaya, that these are the Simanim of Chaya. Before the Gemara continues with the Braisa, so the Gemara is bothered, Chaya Bechlau Behim Hilu Simanim, that certainly the din of Chaya Benegia Simanim is exactly the same as a Behema, and the Simanim are if it's Milas Gira, and if it has split hooves, as we already learned, and as the Pasuk stated in Pasha Shmini, Dabro Bnei Yisrael Lema, Zoysa Chaya Shatechlu, and then the Pasuk discusses a Behema, and as Rashi in Pasha Shmini explains, that even though the word Zaysa Chaya actually refers to all living animals, Pasuk really means to tell us that the Torah is about to teach us about the kashrus of all living creatures. However, Rashi also states in Dibur Maskel Zaysa Chaya Mikol Behema Milamed Shabehema Bechlal Chaya. Similarly, Ayin Rashi in Pashas Re'ei, where the Pasuk actually begins Zaysa Behema Shetechelu, and then it mentions Behemos of Shar Sek Savim V'Seizim, and then it mentions Chayos, and it mentions Ayol Utzvi V'Yachmor, and Rashi states, Madnu Shachaya Bechlau Behema. He causes questions, so Amr Abzira. So Abzira explains that the Bryce's question is as follows. We continue on Daphne Tessan Abbeys. When the Bryce states, Elohim Simone Chaya, the Bryce is not asking for the Simone Kashas of a Chaya, and the Bryce is asking, how do we know what animal is considered a Behema, and which animal is considered a Chaya? And of course, there's a major nafkamina, as we know that one is not allowed to eat the Chelev of a Behema, but one can eat the Chelev of a Chaya. And even though the Gemara doesn't mention this, there's another nafkamina, as there's a mitzvah of kisui adam by a chaya and oif. The mitzvah of kisui adam doesn't apply to a behema, as the Gemara states, v'hachi kamar, and this is what the Braisa means to say, Elohim simoni chaya shechel b'muta, that these are the simonim that we know that the animal is a chaya, and therefore its chelev would be mutar. And the Braisa explains, kol sheyesh lo karnayim utlafayim, that any animal that has horns as well as hooves, so we know that it's a chaya. And Ayin Taisis that begins at the bottom of Dafnun Tesim Aleph, where Taisis brings two explanations, and he first brings down from the Rivan, in reality, the definition of a chaya is any animal that has horns. However, for chelu to be mutter, it has to have both of these properties, as number one, it has to have horns, and number two, it has to have split hooves, as otherwise it would not be a kosher animal, and certainly the chelu would be usher. However, he then brings down from Rabbi Yonatan that these are actually two simonim of a chaya, as number one, it has to have horns. Number two, the hooves of a chaya are different than the hooves of a behema. And as we know, when we see a deer, its hooves are much narrower than the hooves of a cow, ayin sham. And the Gemara now continues, Rab Deisa Imer, and Rab Deisa explains, yesh lo kunayim iyat tzarech lachsal tlfayim, that if you determine that an animal has horns, then there's no need to inspect its hooves, as certainly the animal is a chaya. And for example, if the tlfayim are cut off, then as long as it has horns, then you could be certain that it's a chaya and its chelev would be mutar. However, yesh lo tlfayim tzarech at lachsal kunayim, that even if it has hooves and its horn was cut off, so that would not necessarily be a raya. And even if one can still determine that this animal is kosher, but one would not be able to eat its chelev. Finally, the Braisa teaches us v'keresh afal pi she'in lo ela keren achas mutar, an animal called a keresh, even though it only has one horn, it is still considered a chaya and its chelev would be mutar. And the Gemara will now ask a bunch of questions as to the horns of an animal, and based on these questions, so the Gemara will refine what the Braisa meant when it stated that a chaya has horns. And the Gemara first is that klaluhu, that how can you say this is a klal, that any animal that has a horn is a chaya? Array is yesh le kanayim utlefayim v'chal bay asar, that we know that a goat has horns and has pointed split hooves, certainly it's a behemoth, and certainly it's chilev is usher. The pasuk in Pashas Sav states, "Dabel bnei Yisrael lemar kol chilev shor b'chesav ve'ez leisei chilu," and certainly it's chilev is usher. And the Gemara explains, "Kruchis b'inan that in a chenami when the Bryson mentions that chayes have horns, he was discussing very specific horns, and these horns have to be layered, and the layers are right on top of one another, and they are similar to the peels of an onion." However, the Gemara continues, and it's still bothered. Very sure the kruchis v'chel b'yasser that we know that shor has a horn, and its horn is kruchis, and even so, the pasuk tells us that it's chel v'zasser because of this question. So the Gemara now explains that in a chenami kruchis is not a simon of the chaya. Instead, charukis b'inan that a chaya has a horn that is grooved and is not smooth, because the Gemara was now chayzer from the teretz of kruchis. So the Gemara now once again asks, very is the charukis v'chel b'yasser. Now the mice of the horn of a goat isn't smooth and is grooved, and even so, it's chelav is usher. And the Gemara answers, mefutzolos binan, that in order for a horn to be a simon, that this animal is a chaya, has to shoot out into multiple branches, as we see on the antlers of a deer. Certainly, that is not found by a shor or ez. If an animal has antlers, then we know that it's a chaya. However, the Gemara is bothered, very tzvi, de'e mefutzolos v'chel b'mutar. Rashi points out that certainly we know that the deer that we have nowadays all have antlers. However, Rashi explains that when the Gemara uses the term tzvi, it actually refers to the Steinbock, or what we would call the mountain goat or the ibex, and that has a regular horn and doesn't have antlers. Based on this question, so the Gemara now adds another qualification as chadurais be'inon, that if an animal has a horn that is rounded, or as some agurus chadudais that is sharp, then we know that this animal is a chaya. And the Gemara now wraps up its conversation, and it brings a klal, that if you find an animal that has antlers and like a deer, then certainly it would be categorized as a chaya, and its chelev would be mutar, and hechad loy mefatzla, and if you find an animal where it has horns and it is not branched out, then in order for it to be categorized as a chaya, and its chelev should be mutar, so be'in and kruchais, chadurais, v'charukais, that the horn would have to be layered, it would also have to be rounded as well as grooved. The Gemara defines charukais as behud mivla charukayu, that the grooves have to be very close together, and as we find on an ibex and a gazelle. Keep in mind that according to the way that we explained our Gemara, ultimately the Gemara did not feel that kruchais is a simon, so tzarech bir, why the Gemara now states that be'in and kruchais chadurais v'charukais, and ayin and mefarshim, and ayin rashi be'in and chadurais kruchais v'charukais, the nepik misveka de kulu, charukais lafuka misveka de shar, chadurais lafuka me'ez shehen rechavais, and kruchais lafuka nam misveka de ez, v'afgad de shal ez in chadurais. However, yesh ez karkos sheshmoy ez v'kronav chadurais v'charukais, u'misafgalon imina de ezu, and we have a suffix, if it's part of the goat species, and therefore its chelev would be asar, or its chelev would be mutar. And as the Gemara tells us, behind usveka de ezer karkos, and that's why we have a suffix by the karkos ezer, which refers to an animal that looks like a goat that comes from the area called karkos. And they had a suffix that since its horns are chadurais and charukais, so potentially it is considered a chaya, and therefore its chelev would be mutar. However, lemaisa it's called a goat, and its horns aren't kruchais, and therefore potentially it's a behemoth, and therefore its chelev would be asar. And we will see that one manda omar holds that its chelev would be asar because of this manda omar, so that's why the Gemara had to add in that we also have the simon of kruchais, as the horns of all goats, including the ez that comes from karkois, are not kruchais, and therefore they are categorized as behemois, and their chelev would be asar. As the Gemara continues and brings a machlekes as to the status of chelev of the ezer karkos, as I hear ezer karkos that avoy beirish glusa, the okim molit son of the tabmina, and Rabbi Chai Asar, and Rashmul Breed Ravo, Achomenei, and Karya Nafshe, me pre pish tis babitnai, the Rish Galusa had the ezer karkos. After shechting it, they took out a basket full of chelev, and they had a shaila if it's mutar or asar, and Rabbi Chai stated that this animal is considered a behemoth, and therefore the chelev would be asar. However, Rabbi Shmuel Breed Ravo had a kabbalah that's considered a chaya, and therefore its chelev is mutar, and therefore he ate from it. Regarding himself, he quoted the pasuk of Mishlei that states, "Mi pri pi'ish tizba bitnai tu asva sov yisba," because he had a kabbalah from his Rebbe, so therefore he was able to be seveya, and he was able to be satiated from the fats of this animal. And as Rashi states, "Mi pri pi ish bischashe shemati v'kabalti shu mutar. Therefore, bitni savim menu. The Gemara continues and paskin is like Rav Shmuel b'ed Rabavo that the chiluv would be mutar. And as the Gemara states, shalchum itam that they sent from Eretz Yisrael. The hilchas akabalti Shmuel b'ed Rabavo v'izaru b'rabino achoy shemeir ina goyluhu. However, although we paskin that this animal is considered chaya and its chiluv is mutar. However, since Rabachoy was meir ina goylo and he was the gadol hadar, so as a matter of respect, you should not eat chiluv in front of him. And Ayin Rashi v'zaru b'rabino achoy linig by kavod v'lodin l'fun of kalacha atchiyachzibay v'loy latir b'fun of mashu oisar shemei ein agayluhu. And the Gemara now continues that the Brisa stated the keresh avol pishein le'ela karen achas mutar. Although an animal called a keresh only has one horn, it is still considered chaya and its chiluv would be mutar. And the Gemara explains Amar Biyuda keresh tavi de be'iloi that the keresh refers to a type of deer that is found in the area called be'iloi, and some explained that this refers to the tachash that only had one horn and was specifically only found during the time of the Midbar, and they made the Oyus Tchashim from this behemoth, while others explained that it refers to a very large deer. Yehuda continues that Tigris Ari de Be'iloi, an animal called a Tigris, is a very large animal from the lion family that's also found in this area called Be'iloi, and some explained that the word Tigris is similar to the word tiger. The Gemara now tells us the large size of the Keresh and the Tigris, and as the Gemara continues, Amrav Kana Tasha Masa have been Una Lu Una Da Arya De Be'iloi, and Amrav Yosef Shitza Masa have been Mashchi De Tavi De Be'iloi. Number one, Rav Kahana teaches us that there are nine amos between the ears of the lion of Be'iloi, and Rav Yosef teaches us that the Tavi De Be'iloi is so large and it is 16 amos long. And Ayin Rashi De Be'iloi Shem Yar, it's the name of a forest, and Tigris Lo Yisparishlon Hei Chayrinam Be'i. And the Gemara doesn't mention in one regard we're discussing the Tigris and what the nafkamina would be to know what the Tigris is. And the Gemara now continues, Omale Kesel Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, that the Caesar said to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Alekechem Ka'aria Mesil, that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a lion, as the Siv and as the Pasuk in Amr states, Arye Shag Mila Yira, Hashem Alekim Diber Mila Yinove. And he is bothered that my Ravusa, that why would you consider that so great to be like a lion if we know Pasha Kotel Arya, that an Adam Gibor or a warrior can kill a lion, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that strong. However, Omalei, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya responded to the Caesar, the Lav Kahaya Ayar Masil, that when the Torah compares HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a lion, is not referring to a standard lion, and Ka'ari de Be'eloi Masil, the comparison is to the lion of Be'eloi, and Omalei, so the Caesar said to Rabbi Shua, Be'in de Mechezle Nele, I want you to show me this lion, and Omalei, so Rabbi Shua responded, Le Moses Chazazle, that I can't show it to you as it's too dangerous. And Amalei, so the Caesar said back, Ivra Chazinale, that even so I want to see it. And some explain the Lashon Ivra is Bari, that I'm sure I want to see it. And Rashi states, Ivra, Emes ani Reitzel Reisai, Valkochach Tzorch Atel HaReisali, and since I'm the Caesar, so I'm commanding you to show it to me. So Boi Rachme Yisaka Meduchte, so Rabbi Shua ben Chananya davened, and the lion started leaving its place, and it started coming towards Rome, and towards the Caesar, and and when it was 400 parsa away, it roared one time, and I feel called my bat of Ashur Duraimi Nafal. This roar caused a great earthquake, and all the pregnant women miscarried, and the walls of Rome all collapsed, and then when it was 300 parsa away, it let out another roar, and Nathal Kachi Vishina de Gavri, Bafu Nafal Makusai La Ara, and all the people's molars and front teeth fell out. Even the Caesar fell off his throne. And at this point, the Caesar was scared as to what will happen if the lion gets even closer. And on Malay, so the Caesar said to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, that I beg of you that you should go in Davin, that it should go back to its place and should not come any closer. And he once again Davin, and the lion went back to its regular place. The Gemara continues with another story with the Caesar and Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, as Amalei Kesel Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, being in the Echsel Alakaychu, that I want you to show me your God. And Amalei and Rabbi Shua ben Chananya said, Lo Yimatzes Chazavle, certainly you cannot see Hashem, and as the Pasuk states, Ki Lo Yirani Ha'adam V'chai. However, once again, Amalei Ivra, and we continue, and Daf Samach Amin Aleph, Chazinale, I want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Azul Ukmeh L'Hadu Yem B'Tkufis Tammuz. So Rabbi Shua ben Chananya went, and he took the Caesar, and he located Caesar in front of the sun during the hottest months of the summer, and Amalei Stakelbei, and he said to Caesar that you should look up and stare at the sun, and Amalei Lemetzina, and the Caesar said that I can't look at the sun, as certainly it's too strong to look at, and therefore Amalei Yoimu Dechad Mishamashi Dekaime Kamei Dekutcha Brichu Amrit Lemetzina Stakelbei Shchina Loi Koshkein, that since you yourself admit that you can't look at the sun, which is only one of the servants that serve in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly you will not be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we will stop over here.